Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're all broken by an all too familiar feeling. Another place that is supposed to be about community and togetherness, shattered by bullets and bloodshed.
Police have identified the man who they say carried out the deadly shooting at Michigan State University. The efforts at local universities to protect students in our state. Plus, inflation rose a half a percentage point in January, but there are signs from other numbers that it's cooling off. Also, it's Valentine's Day, and that means a very busy day at the flower shop. A look at how inflation could affect spending. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. New this noon, police say the man responsible for a deadly shooting spree was not linked to the campus. Anthony McRae was not an employee or student. According to investigators, McRae had no children or spouse and worked at a warehouse in Lansing. Overnight, officers executed a search warrant on a residence connected to him. But there are still a lot of questions about what prompted him to carry out the massacre.
This morning, one of the students who was inside Berkey Hall, where that gunfire started, talked to Hoda Kotb and Jenna Bush on the Today Show about the harrowing ordeal.
I was in class. It was around, I'd like to say, almost 8:20, it felt like, a little before then. I was sitting and my professor was lecturing, and then I heard, like, it was either three or four, like, really, I could hear gunshots, like, directly behind my head, and I could see the smoke, like, gunpowder or something from the weapon firing, and then I could smell, and immediately I dropped to the floor with all my classmates, and someone was yelling that there was a shooter, and everybody needed to get down on the ground, and at that moment, I thought that I was gonna die. I was so scared. I didn't cry, which is surprising for me. I just, like, kind of kept quiet.
So close to her. Claire Papalis says she and her classmates eventually broke a window and climbed out to safety. They were unsure of where the gunman was, but all just scattered in separate directions.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, we're also hearing from the spokesperson for the Lansing Hospital, now treating the five Michigan State University students in critical condition. Dr. Denny Martin is the interim president and chief medical officer at E.W. Sparrow Hospital. He says four of the five students required surgery immediately. Five are in critical condition. He couldn't say enough about the staff at E.W. Sparrow.
I want to thank the overwhelming response from our team. We received a lot of texts that were just, I'm on my way. Just within people showing up, where do you need me?
Well, several times during that news conference, Dr. Martin could not hold back the tears. We also heard from Mayor of East Lansing, Mayor Ron Bacon, saying the entire community is shattered by this mass shooting, but we will get through together, in his words.
Ken, thanks for that update. Terrifying events like the shooting in Michigan strike fear in hearts across the nation. Here at home, students, teachers, and parents rely on school officials to implement campus warning systems in the event of an active shooter scenario. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is live at UNC Chapel Hill with a look at their emergency alert system, which is set to go off any minute as a precautionary and test measure. Right, Chelsea?
Absolutely, Jeff. We understand sometime in the next hour, UNC officials will test that siren and an emergency alert system. I'm going to step aside so you can see. This is the tower it would come from. There are six of these spread across the campus, and we do want to stress when this does go off, no action needs to be taken by student and staff. This is done several times a year to make sure the equipment and notification processes work in case of that real threat or emergency. Now, the university says during the test, anyone outside or near campus will likely hear these sirens. The sirens will sound an alert tone along with a brief pre-recorded voice message. Now, the sirens are used for a variety of reasons. If there's an armed or dangerous person near campus, a fire, hazardous material incident, or a tornado warning, UNC police will also send out a text messages to students who are registered with the Alert Carolina app. Now, should an incident occur here similar to what happened at Michigan State State University. The university here would use that siren and several other alert systems, such as the Carolina Ready app, that would give students tools to be prepared, mitigate dangers, and respond appropriately to situations that occur. Now, if you hear the warning sirens in a real emergency, UNC would then stop all classroom and campus activities. All UNC operations would be suspended, including classes, businesses, in offices, as well as public transportation. Now, also, we know from UNC officials we spoke to this morning, in a real emergency, they would urge everyone to stay inside. And when the alert is over, that siren would sound again, giving the all clear. We're going to hear more from UNC officials on what they're doing to continually improve campus safety, and we'll have that in our later newscasts. Jeff?
Chelsea Donovan, live UNC for us this noon. Chelsea, thank you.
And today is also a solemn day for residents in Parkland, Florida, as they mark the fifth anniversary of one of the nation's worst school shootings. It was 5 years ago today that Nicholas Cruz opened fire inside the school, killing 14 students and three staff members. These haunting images of students fleeing the high school still seems fresh and all too familiar even 5 years later. Cruz has been sentenced to life behind bars for carrying out that massacre.
2023 is off to a rough start for consumers. WRL's Brian Schrader breaks down the new inflation numbers just out, and the news is mixed. Brian, explain why.
Jeff, the good news is that inflation cooled for the seventh month in a row, but the bad news is that it appears the trend is starting to level off a little bit over the past month. Here's the data from the Labor Department. Prices rose 0.5% from December to January, and they were 6.4% higher compared with last January. Both of those numbers a little higher than economists were expecting. The cost of housing was the biggest contributor to the monthly gain, but Duke economist Cam Harvey says he expects to see some improvement this year.
Housing prices are coming down. Rents are coming down. Housing starts, building permits, all of these are negative, and these will work their way into the inflation rate to reduce it.
So it's slowly getting better, but still a problem for consumers. Many economists are saying that this morning's report probably will not change the Fed's interest rate hike policy. Markets are expecting another hike next month, probably about a half percentage point, Jeff.
Well, Brian, thank you for the update. It has intensified a sell-off on Wall Street. As you can see right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has dropped more than 300 points right now. S&P 500 also in the red, negative territory, down 34 points. And the Nasdaq down 68 points this noon. A lot of red on the board right now.
Well, people are expected to spend a record amount on Valentine's Day this year. WRL's Naya Harden joins us from Cary Florist, where they are expecting a very busy day.
Cary Florist opened at 6 o'clock this morning. They normally open at 9 o'clock, and the phones have been ringing. People have been coming in to pick up those items, some of them those last-minute type shoppers, but they have plenty of arrangements here, as you can see. They expect it to be a busy day. The florist says orders started coming in at the beginning of December, and between their two stores, they have more than 500 orders going out today. That's up, they say, from last year. And to keep prices affordable and avoid inflation, they ordered all of their supplies last year. The shop expects a lot of those last-minute customers to arrive here today and says they will be ready for them.
I think everybody has a little bit of procrastination in them, and Valentine's Day definitely shows it for some, not for everybody, but we are prepared for them. And we've filled our coolers. They're going to stay full for the rest of the day into the night, and whatever they need, we'll try and get them.
Another thing they saw an uptick in was online orders. And if you're looking to get your loved ones something different from the typical roses, they say another popular thing has been the tropical arrangements. Naya Harden, WRL News in Cary.
It has been more than a week now since those powerful earthquakes devastated parts of Turkey and Syria. The death toll has climbed over 37,000. But today in one Turkish city, another miracle as rescuers pulled a 17-year-old from beneath the rubble. He'd been trapped for some 198 hours since the quake before searchers reached him and pulled him free. The teen was rushed to an ambulance to receive medical attention. And if that weren't enough, his 21-year-old brother was also pulled out shortly after him. Their conditions are unknown. And a terrifying moment in another part of Turkey today as demolition crews were working to tear down an earthquake-damaged building. Demolition work was underway on a building in southern Turkey when that structure came crashing down, sending a cloud of dust and debris into the street. It gives you an idea of just how dangerous the working conditions are for demolition and rescue teams working in that region tirelessly right now.
Almost took out the crane as well. Yeah. Wow. Well, next at noon, Nikki Haley has made it official. The former South Carolina governor is running for president in 2024. Who else could challenge on that Republican ticket?
Also, one ticket, $2 billion. Today, we could find out who has the ticket for November's record Powerball win.
Plus, a local school district discusses a solution to its bus driver shortage, what they're considering offering drivers. Elizabeth.
And it's a gorgeous Valentine's afternoon. I found some folks out enjoying the weather there in Pinehurst at the golf course. We'll talk about when folks will have to head back inside with a chance for rain coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Former head of the state NAACP died by suicide, according to an autopsy released today. Dr. Anthony Spearman was found dead in his home in Greensboro last July. Spearman was a longtime social justice advocate. His death came after a rocky year for the state chapter, including accusations of money mismanagement and power struggles at the top.
We now know that just 2 days before two Hillside High School students were shot near campus, a school resource officer found a gun in a backpack. The school's principal sent that information out to parents. One of the students who was shot died. WREL spoke with Karen Helderman, who was a student at a high school in Durham. She's also an activist working to decrease gun violence. She says the mental health of students needs more attention.
We have so little resources that we have devoted to mental health care and counselors in our schools that it is outrageous that we could spend all this money on all of these other things, and yet we sit here knowing our children are in crisis.
Drama students at Hillside High will put on a play this week called State of Urgency. It's a call to action to stop gun violence. Well, firefighters say smoke could last for days as they work to put out a fire at a salvage yard in Wayne County. They've been working to put out the flames since Saturday. The fire is contained and did not spread to nearby homes or businesses. Investigators are working to find out what started it.
Former South Carolina Republican Governor Nikki Haley has made it official. She's running for president in 2024.
You should know this about me. I don't put up with bullies. And when you kick back, it hurts them more if you're wearing heels. I'm Nikki Haley, and I'm running for president.
Haley also served in the Trump administration as ambassador to the United Nations. She released a video on her Twitter account this morning. She's expected to speak at a campaign launch event tomorrow in Charleston. Haley will likely face stiff competition in this lane from other potential GOP candidates like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence, and former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who are all said to be weighing 2024 runs. Speaking of former Vice President, Mike Pence is expected to fight a subpoena from the special counsel investigating Donald Trump and his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Sources close to the issue say Pence plans to fight the order on the grounds he was president of the Senate at the time. They say that would shield him because of the separation of powers. Special counsel wants Pence to testify about his interactions with Trump leading up to the election and on January 6th.
Starting today, our nation's top lawmakers will start getting classified briefings on all of those flying objects shot down by the military. At least four unidentified airborne crafts have been shot down in recent days. That includes a Chinese balloon that was shot down off the South Carolina coast. A full Senate classified briefing on China is scheduled for tomorrow. The White House says it is not currently tracking any more unidentified objects. An effort to expand Medicaid in North Carolina is making progress. A bill is nearing a full vote in the state house, with votes planned today in two committees. Healthcare leaders say the bill would help 600,000 North Carolinians who currently fall in the Medicaid coverage gap. Our state is one of 11 that have yet to expand the program. The federal government would pay us nearly $2 billion if that bill becomes law.
Today, we could learn the identity of the single ticket winner of the $2 billion Powerball lottery. That person bought the ticket in California last November. The $2.04 billion prize is the largest jackpot in U.S. lottery history. It carried a cash value of $997.6 million. California Lottery says state schools will receive more than $156 million from that jackpot.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, one ticket. Could be 50 people in an office.
Yeah, you never know.
Not us.
I hope. Yeah, it's not us. But you know what we do have here today? Some beautiful weather for Valentine's Day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by. Temperature is warming up this afternoon.
And it's all free, as Brian Schrader likes to say. Gorgeous afternoon, sunshine, mild temperatures. We're going to climb up to nearly 70 in some spots this afternoon. And the warmth continues with highs in the 70s for Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday turning cooler in the afternoon after our next front comes through. That one's going to bring us some rain in the morning. And just to keep checking in, we're going to keep watching the new information that comes in about that timeline for Friday, because I know a lot of folks are looking to go downtown to celebrate Fan Fest ahead of the Stadium Series hockey game that's going to be played by the Carolina Hurricanes in Washington on Saturday. So that timeline is going to be important for a lot of folks. So let's jump out and take a quick look outside. Temperatures are in the mid-60s right now with sunshine looking absolutely gorgeous. We'll climb into the upper 60s to around 70 for highs this afternoon. What will it feel like at dinner time? Are you planning to go out with your sweetie and maybe try to sit outside? Well, at 5 o'clock, 62, at 6 o'clock, 57, and at 7 o'clock, 54. So it does cool off fairly quickly once we get past sunset. But most restaurants that have a patio have those nice heaters. And I think if you're sitting by the heater, you'll probably be okay. But it won't be 70 degrees like it will be around the middle of the afternoon. This high pressure system here continues to slide eastward. It's helping to pump that warmth in for us today and tomorrow. But eventually this cold front comes through, and the cold front is going to quickly deliver some chilly air behind it. It's also going to deliver us some rain late Thursday night into Friday. But right now we're looking at clear skies. We'll see sunshine the rest of the day today. A few passing clouds come through overnight, but no real rain out of this. Here's tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Likely to be a bit cloudier tomorrow than it is today, but we'll still call it partly cloudy. We'll still see plenty of sunshine. That's 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Checking temperatures, walking out the door, 64 in Southern Pines, 65 in Fayetteville, 59 in South Hill and in Roxboro. So it feels nice, especially for this time of year, but we're not finished. We're going to continue to see even warmer air pushing into our area. This is a look at how far above normal temperatures will be, and we're really going to jump it on up as we climb into the 70s for tomorrow and for Thursday. But again, late Friday into Saturday, we'll see that cool air that's back to our west surging in. Our normal high is 55, and behind Friday's front, our high on Saturday, just 53 degrees. It's actually, you know, I think it'll make a lot of people happy, because the people who are headed to the outdoor hockey game probably want it to be cold. You know, the ice will stay, you know, a little bit better. We're going to talk about the actual forecast for that Stadium Series game coming up. But this afternoon, almost 70, 72 tomorrow, and 76 degrees on Thursday. We'll take a look at our warm temperatures. Boy, we had such a warm January. We've had a lot of warm days this February so far, and it's just about half over. So far, for February, we've seen 3 days at 70 or higher. We're going to likely add at least two more of those this week, so we'll be above average. But 13 is the record, and of course, we'll have a long way to go. We only have about half the month left. So I don't think we'll hit the record, but definitely a lot of warm days in our forecast. On Friday, we'll have some rain. Coming up, we'll go through the timeline for the rain and talk about what happens with the temperatures behind the front. And of course, we're looking at a cool day on Saturday. We'll talk about game time temperature coming up.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. A Nigerian romance scammer apologizing to Five on Your Side.
And I'm sorry for what I did.
Why he now regrets taking tens of thousands of dollars from women online. That's tonight on WREL News starting at 4.
Then at 6, after riots and a downtown shooting, Wake County has fortified its buildings with bulletproof glass. WREL investigates the process and results more than 2 years later. Still ahead this noon, the numbers are in, and now we know how Super Bowl 57 stacked up against previous matchups in ratings, where the Chiefs and Eagles placed on the list of most watched games.
The Super Bowl ratings are in, and why a popular children's gym is being recalled. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Almost 500,000 children's activity gyms are being recalled due to a potential choking hazard. The recall is for the Silver Lining Cloud Activity Gym from Skip Hop. The raindrops that are part of the cloud portion of the gym could detach and pose a choking hazard. Safety officials recommend removing the raindrops, and you can then submit a photo of the pieces to the company and receive a $10 gift card. You can find more details on the recall at skiphop.com. It was a record-setting Super Bowl for sports betting. FanDuel tells CNBC that at its peak, it was accepting 50,000 bets per second. And BetMGM says this was its most successful Super Bowl ever. The game marked the first Super Bowl to be played in a state where sports gambling is legal. In and around the stadium in Glendale, Arizona, there were more than 100,000 betting transactions, according to GeoComply. And the big game turned out to be the third most watched Super Bowl in history. About 113 million viewers watched the Chiefs defeat the Eagles, according to the Nielsen and Adobe Analytics. That was slightly more than last year's Super Bowl, but the record is held by the 2015 game between New England and Seattle with more than 114 million viewers. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Amazon is taking its self-driving robo-taxis to the streets. Zooks, owned by Amazon, is testing out its autonomous vehicle with passengers on approved California public roads. The passengers are Zooks employees who are transported on a one-mile route to the company headquarters. The vehicle can drive up to 35 miles per hour. The company says the vehicle meets federal motor vehicle safety standards and does not require a waiver to be used on public roads. A $30 million project in Halifax County is aiming to be the first 3D-printed housing development in North Carolina. The Odell Littleton Road Village is a partnership between the town and private developers. It is set to bring 150 housing units to this community, as well as outdoor social areas and activities. When it's ready, project leaders say monthly rents will start around $1,000. They hope this community will become a blueprint for sustainable building in North Carolina. For the full story and how exactly leaders plan to 3D print an entire neighborhood, you can head to WRL.com.
It's Valentine's Day, and that may have some people thinking about love. Some people say love at first sight, it's a real thing. One psychologist says love at first sight is only connected to passion. She adds there are three things that make up love. It's intimacy, passion, and commitment. And she says if you experience love at first sight, it could be you rewriting a love story to meet an expectation. Her advice, make sure you also have some shared hobbies and values with your significant other.
Looking back at a year marked by shootings at grocery stores, parades, and so many other ordinary, everyday situations. We cannot keep living like this.
Coming up in our next half hour, new information about the search for answers in last night's deadly shooting on Michigan State University's campus. Plus,
here at Chapel Hill Colorado City Schools, four buses are not running today, impacting almost 10 schools. And this comes as the Board of Education is set to look at new recommendations to address the issue.
And as we head to break, here are a look at your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We continue to follow the heartbreaking, developing story of a shattered East Lansing community in Michigan. Three people are dead and five others are suffering from life-threatening injuries following an active shooter on the Michigan State University campus. NBC's Shaquille Brewster is there with new information.
Hi there. Well, this morning we learned a lot of new information as we heard from Michigan officials on the latest in this investigation. It was an emotional press conference that we watched as officials were not just on the verge of tears, but at some points on the verge of completely breaking down. We learned that all eight of the victims, the three who were killed and the five who still are in the hospital right now, all in critical condition, we learned that all eight of them are students of Michigan State University. As for the three who lost their lives, officials say that we will learn more about their names and their stories a little bit later today. Police also identifying the suspect officially. They named him as 43-year-old Anthony Dwayne McCray. They said that a search warrant was executed last night for a property or a residence connected to that suspect. They do not have a motive, but they do say that he is not connected to the school in any way. He was not a student. He was not a member of the faculty and has no connection. We know officials are going to continue to look into his history. Shaquille Brewster, NBC News.
And this just into the WREL Live Center. Schools, public schools in Ewing, New Jersey, about 10 hours away from East Lansing, closed today because of a link to that mass shooting at MSU. Police in Michigan found a note in the pocket of Anthony McCray. The note contained threats to two schools in Ewing, New Jersey. But upon further investigation, there's no ongoing threat to Ewing schools, according to police. Officials expect the schools to reopen tomorrow under normal conditions. But right now, those schools are closed and police are posted at every school in Ewing, New Jersey.
An odd twist there, Ken. Thanks. This morning, a Michigan State University student recalled the shooting and how she and her classmates escaped after the gunman started shooting.
Immediately after he was done like firing and the kids in the back were screaming for help, I saw a boy and he like had his shirt off and he was running to see if he could go and close the door because the shooter, he came in through the back door. So there's a door here and there's a door here and he came through the back and he just started attacking people. And I will never forget the screams of my classmates as they were like screaming in pain for help.
We'll continue to track developments out of Michigan throughout the day. Look for updates on WRL.com and on our evening newscasts beginning at 4 p.m.
Experts are weighing in on a new CDC report showing depression and suicidal thoughts are skyrocketing in young women. Nearly 60% of teenage girls surveyed last fall say they've had persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. That's compared to 29% of teen boys. About 30% of girls said they've considered taking their own life. For boys, that was 14%. Nearly one in five girls reported sexual violence as well. A clinical psychologist at UNC tells WREL, cognitive behavioral therapy can really be a big help for teens.
Really helping people kind of generate more helpful, more adaptive ways of thinking and shifting their behavior into ways of coping and engaging in their surroundings that are that can be healthier.
She says another option is talking about feelings with a trusted adult. Other experts say there needs to be more emphasis on mental health for teens. And help is available for anyone who needs it anytime. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 988, or you can go to WREL.com/get help.
Today, one local school system is considering a big step to address the bus driver shortage that is causing problems pretty common around the whole state. It might start paying its drivers more than any other district in our area. WRL's Laura Levine joins us now from Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, where the district canceled several routes today because of the driver shortage.
Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools has four buses not running today, impacting about nine different schools. The district says that they have about 15 uncovered routes each and every day here at the transportation department. And that's when they have to depend on substitute drivers or lean towards licensed office staff. For several months now, they have been surveying people in the community. I took a look at those results today, and more than 1,000 suggestions revealed that they want drivers to receive more money. Now, this data will be presented at the Board of Education today, along with the new recommendations to address bus driver shortages. The first recommendation involves immediately raising the minimum new bus driver pay from $16.62 an hour to $20 an hour. And this would be higher than Wake County Public Schools at $17.20 and Durham's starting pay at $18.13. The second recommendation is implementing a bell schedule change that would split elementary schools into two tiers so that the same number of buses can cover more schools each day. The third recommendation involves changes to magnet program bus transportation.
It seems as though there's an appetite to compensate our drivers in a way that leads the regional market. I think it's a little bit more toward 50-50 in terms of the change to bell schedules and the school start times, particularly at the elementary level. And then there's, I think, more diversification of opinion when it comes to our magnet school transportation.
And that spokesperson tells me we could see the Board of Education vote tonight on pay increases, with that meeting beginning at 7 p.m. The other recommendations he says he believes will take more discussion and will not go into effect until next school year. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Chapel Hill.
And back to the topic Michelle was talking about just a couple minutes ago, North Carolina will get some much needed support today with more than $3 million to expand virtual mental health care. Governor Roy Cooper will announce a new grant for the statewide telepsychiatry program. More than $3 million will be given out over 3 years to support mental health services for kids in rural and underserved parts of the state. Today's announcement is happening at ECU.
And tonight, the city of Raleigh is hosting the next of its series of discussions about affordable housing. The Missing Middle Initiative would change zoning to add more duplexes, townhomes, and small apartments. Tonight's meeting will start at 6 o'clock at the Sotoma Arts Center. That's on Millbrook Road.
Just ahead, protecting your kids at all costs when it comes to furniture, the dangers your furniture can pose, and how to prevent an accident.
And healthier lunches, healthier kids, how one government initiative is helping to achieve just that. And if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRAL News app. Did you know that televisions and other furniture that aren't properly secured can be dangerous, even deadly, if tipped over? Mandy Gaither has a look at the latest report with some disturbing data and how you can protect your family.
Pick out all your jammies.
It can happen in an instant, even when you're watching.
Good job. Those go in the very top drawer.
These are real-life tip-overs. Thankfully, no children died in these scary accidents, but falling furniture can cause serious injuries, even death.
You know, kids are going to be kids. They're going to be running around. They're going to be climbing on things. They may trip over a cord that pulls down a television.
The latest report from the Consumer Product Safety Commission shows each year between 2019 and 2021, emergency rooms treated an estimated 19,400 people. Between 2000 and 2021, there were nearly 600 reported deaths.
The vast majority of them are children.
And many of those deaths involved a TV, but there are simple ways to protect family. Store heavy items at the bottom of furniture. Place nothing on top that would entice kids to climb. If there are cords, tuck them away. And finally, use an anchor.
Going down to the local hardware store for under $20, in less than 20 minutes, you can attach your television or your bookcase or dresser to the wall.
At anchorit.gov, you'll find step-by-step instructions on how to properly anchor things to the wall.
That was Mandy Gaither reporting. You can also check the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website at cpsc.gov to stay up to date on products that have been recalled and could pose a danger.
Researchers say the body mass index of school-age kids is declining thanks to a government initiative. A new study shows the implementation of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010 led to a significant decrease in BMI scores in children aged 5 to 18. Offering healthy school meals and snack options is a key area to combat childhood obesity. The study shows the shift in BMI was consistent among all household income levels, as well as males and females. While claims of health benefits have been connected to chocolate for years, the FDA says its research is inconclusive. The agency says there's just not enough evidence to say people should regularly consume chocolate. While researchers found a 27% reduction in cardiovascular deaths from participants who took cocoa supplements, the same cannot be said for the average chocolate bar.
When you live in a state that's characterized by below freezing temperatures, ice and snow, you have to find a bright spot. Coming up, there's snow time like the present to get in on a fun contest.
I see what you did there. Plus, a senior dog is back with its owner after 7 years. The incredible mission to get him back where he belongs.
Beautiful Valentine's Day. You're looking live at North Hills. You're watching WRAL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. For the first time in 13 years, Antiques Roadshow is returning to Raleigh. You are looking at video from the last time the show stopped in the Triangle. That was 2010. The hit PBS series production tour will stop at the North Carolina Museum of Art on May 16th. Admission to the Roadshow is free, but tickets are required. This will air in 2024, marking the show's 28th season.
One state's push to make the best of withering winter storms is by letting the internet take the wheel. Maggie Vespa explains how people in Minnesota are taking it all in stride.
In a state synonymous with brutal winters, plows double as proof of Minnesota's comedy chops.
How popular did you think this was going to be?
Not anywhere near as popular as it became.
In 2020, the state's Department of Transportation hoped to thaw the icy isolation of COVID lockdowns with a contest, letting the public name snowplows. 122,000 votes later, a pun-packed tradition was born, producing pop culture plays like The Big Leplowski and Control Salt Delete, celebrity nods like Scoop Dog and Betty Whiteout, and in pure Minnesota fashion, Ope, just gonna plow right past you. Perhaps the gold standard manned by David Jackson.
You are the driver of Plowy McPlowface.
Yep.
Plowy's namesake, a British vessel online voters famously dubbed Bodie McBoatface in 2016.
People see it and they're like, oh, it's Plowy.
Jackson sees the silliness as gratitude.
I think they get a better appreciation for what we do.
This year's winners honoring entertainment royalty with Better Call Salt, You're a Blizzard, Harry.
You're a Wizard, Harry.
And Blizzo, the Grammy winner, blown away.
To know that there is a snowplow named Blizzo makes my heart melt.
A warmth voters deem unavoidable.
How can you live in a place so cold and not have a good sense of humor?
Maggie Vespa, NBC News, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Blizzo. I like that one. That's how you know you've made it, when you've got a snowplow named after you.
They glossed over some of the good ones. Sleetwood Mac, I think, is fantastic. I love that one.
That was a really good one. Elizabeth was laughing at them, too. There were some really good names in there. There really were. But 120,000 people put those, you know, and came up with those. Yeah. Definitely some good ones.
Creative. They got a lot of time on their hands.
Yes, I love it. Lizzo said that it made her heart melt. That was a good one. Kind of like Brian Schrader. Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, Chapel Hill, all looking pretty right now. A little bit of cloud cover starting to stream in to some of our northern counties. You can see that off in the distance there in Chapel Hill as we take a look at our view from Top of the Hill Restaurant. Looking back off to the west, all of a sudden, there's a lot of rain that's developing along our front that arrives here on Thursday night into Friday. This high pressure system is going to take its time, kind of hanging out there. High pressure systems bring us dry conditions. They have sinking air associated with them. They tend to keep precipitation out of here. But it is moving off into the Atlantic, and we will eventually start to see some of this rain making its way in our direction. Let's take a look at Futurecast, kicking things off at about 6 p.m. You can see just a few passing clouds in the north. Some cloud cover rolls in overnight tonight. So when we wake up tomorrow morning, it'll be a bit cloudier than it was this morning. But notice there are still plenty of breaks in the clouds. This is 6 a.m. We're not going to see any rain with this. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds during the day tomorrow, as opposed to today where it's mostly been sunny. And then we'll watch our front getting closer and closer to us. This is Thursday at 9 a.m. That front is still on the other side of the mountains at this point. We're seeing a solid flow coming out of the south, bringing some very warm temperatures to us on Thursday. There's 5 o'clock rain still on the other side of the mountains, but that front starts to move across the area right around midnight Thursday night into early Friday morning. We start to see the rain. That's 7 a.m. on Friday. Most likely it's going to be a fairly wet commute for us on Friday morning. The big thing that we're watching is how quickly does the rain move out. I'll tell you what is going to happen with this. Once that front slides eastward, we're going to see a big switch in our wind direction. You can see that right there. See the wind streams coming out of the northwest, and right here they're coming out of the southwest. The temperatures are going to drop pretty dramatically for the afternoon, and there will be a group of people that cares significantly about that. All the people headed to Fan Fest on Friday, which is the celebration that goes along with the stadium game that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to play outside on on Saturday. The afternoon looks like it may dry out, but it may be a bit breezy and certainly turning chilly. Before that gets here, we'll be watching tomorrow for a good chance of severe storms across parts of the Deep South on Thursday. Look at this. It stretches all the way from the Great Lakes down to the Gulf of Mexico. It's a level 2 risk, but surprisingly, it doesn't make it over the mountains. Watch the colored contours here. That's where we'd have the best chance of seeing any severe storms. And once the front crosses the mountains, that severe weather threat does not come along with it. Keep checking back. We'll watch it just in case that changes. But right now, it looks like it's maybe going to produce a few rumbles of thunder, but nothing severe. Looking at our best chance of rain there on Friday, but right now it looks like a lot of that begins to taper off close to lunchtime. We are looking at some cool temperatures, though, through the afternoon in the 50s. On Saturday at puck drop, temperatures will be in the low 40s, and I think that folks will feel like that is right about perfect for watching a hockey game outside in our area, especially since it's going to be 70 again on Monday.
This dog never left my side, so I thought he had, like, walked off to die.
Oh, on the contrary, Nugget is indeed alive and kicking. The happy reunion, 7 years in the making.
Oh. And as we head into break, here's a look at last night's winning Powerball numbers. Good luck.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of our headlines we are following for you today. Police say the man responsible for killing 3 people and injuring 5 others in a shooting at Michigan State University was not linked to the campus in any way. Investigators say Anthony McCray was not an employee, student, or teacher. He had no children, no spouse, and worked at a warehouse in Lansing. Police say he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
And here at home, students, teachers, and parents rely on school officials to implement campus warning systems in the event of an active shooter scenario. Today, UNC is testing its sirens and emergency alert system. This is done several times a year to make sure the equipment and notification processes work in case of a real threat or real emergency.
Today's Consumer Price Index report shows inflation cooled for the 7th month in a row. Prices rose just 0.5 percentage point from December to January. They were 6.4% higher compared with last January. Both of these were a little higher than economists were expecting. Many economists are saying this morning's report probably won't change the Fed's interest rate hikes.
Breakthrough technology known as Heart in a Box is giving hope to thousands of people in need of heart transplants. Traditionally, donor hearts were retrieved from patients who were declared brain dead, but their heart remained beating. Doctors only have about 4 hours to get the heart to the recipient. Heart in a Box, a donated heart, is resuscitated and placed in a box, which keeps it alive and beating in a human-like state. This increases the window of transport to 12 hours. Wow.
Here's one for you. A dog vanished in New Mexico 7 years ago and has now been reunited with his owner after turning up nearly 2,000 miles away. Nugget was recently found limping down a road in South Carolina. The woman who found him took him to a veterinary clinic to see if he had been microchipped. That move revealed Nugget's name and the name of his owner. After a text message exchange with the owner, they traveled to South Carolina to retrieve her paw pal.
We have reunited animals that have been gone for a week or a month, but typically within a 100-mile radius, but nothing like this.
Now, Nugget and Jesse are back home, and they're both resting after their long journey. By the way, Nugget is 16
what?
Years old.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Mm. Wow. Glad they're back together. All right, if you need a pet, our pet of the day comes to us from the Wake County Animal Center. This is Cinco. She's a pretty girl with unusual markings on her face. She's a senior who likes being petted. She will come down to socialize. She was initially shy at the center, but has blossomed into a kitty that really enjoys her visitors. Her green eyes sparkle when she realizes you're talking to her. To meet her, visit the Wake County Animal Center on Beacon Lake Drive.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Happy Valentine's Day. Have a great day.
Local news doesn't stop here. Keep listening on the radio in Raleigh at 99.3 and in Durham at 96.5.